Now, for the past few weeks, we've been celebrating the big wins from Aussie athletes at both the Rio Olympics and the Paralympics. And even a couple of weeks ago on the show, we chatted with Jessica Thornton about adjusting to life after Rio. But what about when a professional sports person is looking to fully retire? Does a career transition for an athlete have even more challenges than usual? Well, to better understand what lies beyond the sporting field, we're joined by someone who will definitely know. He's a four-time Olympian, a former world champion rower, and the founder of the Crossing the Line organisation. Garrett Towie joins me on the phone. Good morning, Garrett.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, I imagine for many athletes, given the nature of what they do, some of these people are retiring quite a young age. I mean, is there a big challenge for making that career transition when you've been a professional sports person?
Absolutely. Like, it all depends on how much you've been thinking about or preparing for the transition afterwards. And some athletes, they retire when they're very young and through injury, could be through deselection. So some of them could be retiring at the age of 21, 22. Mm. Like, if you're lucky, you'll get a 10 or 12 year span out of your sporting career. But for some people, they're not that lucky. So and the trouble with sports is that, you know, there's a big push towards medals and towards success. And quite often, the balance and the kind of the well-being of the athlete is kind of second best. And the athletes are guilty of that as well, because because everyone's really focused on trying to get that success and that medals and then the monetary rewards that come with that. So quite often career and post-career stuff is seen as maybe kind of easy. Like, I mean, like, I was guilty of that myself, thinking that, you know, life after sport was going to be easy, compared to what I was doing. But in fact, life after sport is much, much harder than people expect.
Yeah, look, I can imagine, because, of course, for many of these professional athletes, I mean, training meant that a lot of, say, you know, tertiary education took a secondary role in their lives, or maybe even got sort of deferred indefinitely. It's got to be very difficult coming out of a very specialized skill set into a big world.
Absolutely. Like, and not just the skill set either. It's more like the purpose that you have as an athlete is incredible. I mean, from the age of 14 or 15, you have a purpose, you have a reason to get up in the morning, you have something that people revere that you're doing and they're following you. So you have this sense of purpose the whole way through your life. Then when you finish, it's very, very hard to find something to replace that. In fact, it's kind of impossible to find something that's going to replace that, because the sporting world is very, very unique. It comes with its unique set of pressures. But also it's very comforting from the fact that you actually have, you know, a goal every single year that's set out. You're going to be in the final at this particular time of the day in August or whatever it is. And so you're literally going towards that point all year, and then you do it again the following year. So when you transfer into the working world, it doesn't work like that, because some projects might take years to come to fruition. Mm. And so you have all the other stuff as well, like, you know, within the sporting world, the standards that you set yourself are very, very high. So you're operating at this kind of top 1% of kind of standards all the time, whereas in fact, the normal world doesn't really work like that either. So, like, quite a few athletes find that really challenging, to kind of slow down their pace and to slow down their ambition for a couple of years, you know?
You mentioned your own experiences, and I imagine that that's what led you to kick off the Crossing the Line organisation and try and help some people. Did you have a bit of a difficult time adjusting?
Yeah, and look, I was actually very surprised, because I had a kind of a fairy tale transition in a way, because I retired at the Olympics and I really wanted to retire. And I was kind of fed up with rowing. I knew I didn't want to do it anymore. So, like, I knew what I didn't want to do. I had an education, I had a degree, I had loads of outside interests outside the sport. So I was really looking forward to retiring, to be honest. And I was, you know, like, in that initial period when you finish, you have all these kind of sense of freedom, you know, you don't have to diet anymore, you can go to bed late, you can stay up drinking, all that kind of stuff. And I was loving that for about a year or so. But then when it came time for the hard questions to find out, you know, exactly what it is I wanted to do with my life, that's when I started to feel the pinch a little bit. And I started to go, you know, into websites and look up research. And I just found there was nothing really centralized out there for athletes to kind of go to a place like a Beyond Blue for athletes or something like that. I just, you know, I was kind of like at a loss as to the feelings I was having. So that's when I got the idea to do the website. I thought to myself, well, there's nothing there. Maybe I should start something.
Given the kind of pressure that society does put on athletes, this very kind of high level of hopes and expectations, especially on an Olympic level, like the whole country with their eyes upon you, do you think there should be more support mechanisms, you know, I guess even emotionally and sort of mentally for athletes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are trying to, you know, like federations and sport are making a concerted effort, you know, to do this. But I guess what it boils down to is that, you know, lots of people see welfare and this career stuff as something that's a nice to have within organizations. They don't really kind of give it enough kudos in terms of what it can do for the performance of the athlete. So if you have a welfare program, like a really good one that kind of tends to the emotional needs as well as the mental needs of the athlete, then you're going to have a happier and balanced athlete at the end of the day. So that means you're going to have a better performer who will probably last longer in the sport because the effects of burnout will be less. So this is part of high performance. Like, it's just as important as physiology, as physiotherapy, as sports psychology. It's just as important as all that. And I think that's where the culture shift has to happen in sport, where they see athlete welfare and well-being as part of the high performance mix. Then they'll be able to kind of prepare their athletes better for transition out of sport.
Well, Garrett, I bet there's more than a few athletes who are very grateful for your help, especially the help of the Crossing the Line organisation. Thank you for talking breakfast this morning.
Thanks very much, Nick.
Yes, that was Garrett Toohey. As I said, former world champion rower, four-time Olympian, and now using his own experiences to help professional athletes transition into a world after sport.